This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studios every Saturday morning, 10 to 11. Yes, you want to stay tuned for 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. Now, you may be out there saying, hey, I got a job. I got a good job. Why do I care about business? Well, maybe you want to understand how the business climate is going to impact you. Today, I've got Maurice Washington, who's going to be elected into the Washoe County Commissioner's seat. And you're going to want to know his insights and expertise on what's going to happen with business owners in terms of taxes, licensing, and all things regulatory. We've got Katrina Lofton Winkle, who's going to be able to help our business owners understand valuation, how to increase and not decrease it unless they want to, I guess. And then, of course, yours truly weigh in on taxes and all things business advisory. So that is our show. In a nutshell, you're going to want to stay tuned to really understand this upcoming, particularly election cycle. With that said, Mr. Washington, I presume. Welcome back.
Mr. Boy, that's a grand title. Thank you.
No, you're very, very welcome. So I call you Senator Maurice Washington, soon to be Commissioner Maurice Washington, Mr. Washington.
Maurice. How about Maurice?
Okay, I can do that. So you're running for Washoe County Commissioner.
I am.
Yeah, you decided you have not gotten enough angst and you can't have gray hair. You're bald. Why are you running for office?
Well, I tell you what, you know, a lot of people have asked me why I'm running for office. And I will say this first. I'm very excited about the campaign and having the opportunity to meet the voters at the door and hearing their concerns and their issues. And, you know, a true public servant is here to serve the public and serve their voters and do the best job that they possibly can.
Right.
And why I'm serving is because we're on the precipice of a great opportunity in Northern Nevada.
So what's the great opportunity?
Well, you know as well as I do, and Randy, that growth is right around the corner, and we're excited about the possibility of new job creation, innovation, keeping the best and the brightest here, seeing our economy go from the doldrums to a boom.
Right.
So having good leadership and good leadership with experience is going to lend and bode well for our community in Washoe County. And so that's why I'm in the race.
And we appreciate it. So and particularly appreciate your former service. Now, you've kind of percolated around a little bit in governmental circles as a state senator, but also sat doing economic development.
Yes, I did do economic development. I had an opportunity to serve with the likes of Rob Hooper at NNDA, which is a counterpart to EDON. And we did economic development for the rural communities, primarily Douglas, Story, Lyon, Churchill, and even Carson City. And during my tenure, working with the staff and the likes of Danny Campos, we generated about $1.5 billion in direct and indirect new job opportunities and businesses in that area. So we were very successful, especially during the midst of a recession.
Right. Well, and that's where which was great then, but now trying to hire people is like downright impossible. I mean, Katrina Lofton Winkle, first and foremost, welcome back. So, in any races you've raced or won recently?
Not recently, no.
So, indeed, we try and always hang around fast women here. Katrina's a professional racer?
Well, I'm certified professional, but yeah.
So, driving down to the studio, she's like, do you want me to drive? Like, I don't have my helmet. I'll drive. Thank you. And, we should do that.
We should.
We should race.
We should have.
But not on only on
not,
a track.
Not on the way here.
Okay. So Katrina, one of the things that you know, we really want to kind of talk about on the show today is the overall business climate, employees, and how that's impacting basically companies' ability to buy, sell, or grow a business. And, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing, first and foremost, we've got a webinar coming up this next week that Randy will talk about here in a little bit, talking about, you know, instant growth through acquisition.
Right.
You help people with that every day.
I do.
Why are people so reluctant, so remiss to go out and buy a business?
I think a lot of times they think they can start something and do it that way, grow organically, that kind of thing. But it's, you know, it's the easiest way to grow is through acquisition. You know what you're getting. Everything's in place. The mistakes are made.
Right. Yeah. You've learned from other people's mistakes rather than your own. Peter Drucker says the best way to grow is through acquisition.
Yes.
But there's certain people out there, you know, that, you know, I read into it. They're kind of proud. Like, well, I didn't buy business. I grew it. Well, you're an idiot. Congratulations and celebrate your failure.
I'm sorry I ever told you that, Mike.
Randy.
Wow.
Of course, that's Randy Open, the BBC. So, no, it's just, it is the best way to grow. In fact, there's a just came back from a retreat last weekend, and my church, I attend Life Church, great church, real passion for this community. And when Life Church merged with Vineyard Church, you know, the senior pastor Dave Pretlow asked the senior pastor of Vineyard, he's like, "What can we do better together that we couldn't do if we were apart?" Right, and that really is right. That's all about synergy,
right?
It is,
you know. So, and that's where I know, Maurice, you see it in government a lot.
Right,
you get all these silos, right? And
right.
Everybody trying to do the same thing.
And it's the same way sometimes in business. We operate in silos, and getting those silos tore down and working in that synergy to create something that's positive and moving in the right direction becomes a challenge.
Well, right. Well, and that's, you know, I think that's what oftentimes you picking a good merger or acquisition partner is the key. So one of the things, and when I, you know, it's kind of tongue in cheek saying about workforce, I would say trying to hire people today in May of 2016 feels a lot like 2006, 2007. They're just, you know, if people are unemployed, there's a reason they're unemployed. Which is they're looking for a different job, or they got problems.
That's true.
We got hair. They got a little hair on them. A little hair on that resume.
Right.
Listen, you've worked places for 3 months at a time for the last 10 years. Gosh, I wonder if you're going to be here longer than 3 months. Probably no. I want this one to last. But all my other employers were terrible. Well,
right.
Guess what? You're probably going to think that we're terrible.
Sure.
So so what's going on? On the workforce development front. I mean, Maria Sheehan basically hung out the shingle. She's like, hey, you know what? I can't get my community college funded. The community college needs to be funded in order to give all these kind of medium tech jobs.
Sure.
We're not getting any love on budget, and I quit.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, it has become a difficult problem for us to solve. But I'm excited about what's going on in our community with the community college ramping up and gearing up to not only do certifications, but to have qualified applicants come in and meet the ongoing demands and needs of those businesses that are coming into our area and existing businesses, and giving people an opportunity if they need to retool or come up with a new career, those classes and certifications to change careers in midstream sometimes.
Well, and I guess that's where I don't understand why the state of Nevada is just not more proactive in that training. You know, right now, the way that, as I understand the educational system, you can correct me, is, you know, basically it's given cents on the dollar. So in order to get more education, you need more funding, and which means you need more taxes. But the people that are benefiting for the education that are going to make more money are the students. Of course, they can't afford more because they are in a substandard job. Why don't we just give them loans that they can repay back when they make more money?
Well, it used to be that student loans were handled by financial institutions, and the government has kind of taken that over somewhat. And
oh, so that's why they don't work. I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Well, you know, some have entitlement mentalities, and we won't go down that road. But I will say this, though. There is no reason nor excuse for anyone who decides to go to work that they can't go to work and better themselves maybe through the educational process.
Well, yeah, that's why I think, you know, it's funny. In the state of Nevada, I was talking to one of the consults we do each and every week. And so one of my good friends and loyal listeners of this show, Margo, our neighbor, is mentoring a young man, and he's trying to find his way. His name's Bob. And so, you know, Bob was a mechanical engineer and in the college program. And so, you know, he's kind of trying to taking a couple semesters off, trying to find his way. And it's like, you got to get back to school. And he's like, well, you know, it's expensive. Like, not really. Because if you only knew what it really cost.
Right.
If you knew what it really cost and kind of what subsidy, it's like, you know, be transparent. So it's like, hey, if you think your tuition costs $6,000, really it's like $20,000.
Sure.
So you have a $12,000 to $14,000 subsidy by the great state of Nevada.
Sure.
And let's give you a scholarship. You know, it's because it's really costing that much money. That's
right.
Real.
Right.
So we're just gonna, and then if we need to get you back off of that, but at least then you feel like there's more value there. It's $20,000 worth of value. And if,
right.
if your teacher's not giving it to you, the education's not giving it to you, then you say, but you're like, you're struggling over $6,000.
Sure.
It's way significantly more than that.
Sure. And then not to equate, you know, the lifelong achievements and growth and income potential that you'll have over your lifespan. I mean, the investment may be minimal compared to the return on your investment. So
no, that's exactly it. It's all about ROI, baby. That's what we do. It's about making money. I remember when I started my accounting career, I was a manager in a grocery store. It was 1993. Seems like so long ago, yet almost yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making a little $42,000 a year in 1993.
Sure.
It's good money now. It was really good money then.
Sure.
And my first accounting job at Deloitte and Touche paid $28,000. And I remember people at the store, they're like, you know, Bosma, you went to school for all this time. You got your undergraduate degree. You got your graduate degree. You did all this. Plus, now you're going to take this big pay cut. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Right? And I'm like, well, yes, I am. Thank you. but I understood. It's like, well, I get a chance to make more. I get a chance to have like an eight to five job. I missed that chance. That bus has sailed. It went on the ship has sailed. I never got on the 8-to-5 bus, but missed that one. I'm on the 8-to-8 bus.
Sure.
But it's just there's tremendous opportunities that I would have never been afforded had I not gone that route.
That's right. And you never know where it'll lead you and where it'll take you and the income potential that you'll have in the future. So, just getting your foot in the door and having a clear vision of where you want to go and what you want to become. And I know we're young sometimes. We don't know exactly what it is we're going to do when we become our age. Whatever age that
Whatever
is.
That is. Katrina's been stuck on 25 for the duration. You know. Why is that, Randy?
Is she that old? I thought she was on 24.
No. Boy, I was like, you guys, right? It's like, we get gray and the ladies get younger every day.
That's okay. I just lean on the fact the Bible says gray hair is wisdom.
Right.
I'm waiting for that wisdom to kick in.
Honor.
So, what if you don't have any hair?
So for the benefit of our listeners, if you're out there and you're thinking, hey, I'm 50. Do I need to go back to school? You know what? You probably got a couple 20 years in front of you to do something with that education. So plenty of time to get that return on investment. So let's do this when you come back. I really want to talk about, again, kind of more workforce development, Senator Washington's perspective on the commerce tax, and I'm going to give you a little insight on how all of that bakes into business value, as will Katrina Loftenwinkle from BTI. It must be Bosma on Business. Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. In studio, the late, great Senator. No, it's like past like he died. Former Senator Maurice
Thanks,
Washington.
Mike.
candidate for Washoe County Commission, and the amazing and talented Katrina Loftenwinkle and Randy O. So,
thank you, Mike.
you know, Randy, you are one handsome cat. I got to give you that.
You are.
You know how I know this?
Yeah, I'm sensing I have an idea.
Okay, because everybody mistakes you for me.
That's right.
Just saying. So, Maurice, we talked about economic development on the break, and one of the things, there's a lot of scuttlebutt about there because we got to go back to the well, and because all of a sudden the commerce tax isn't creating what they think it was going to create in revenue. blah, 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 blah. So, no, oh, we need more taxes. And then, so there's scuttlebutt out there about economic development and kind of the incentives that are being granted these companies. And, you know, gosh, how come they're not paying tax? And boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. So, you know, your former life, you were in economic development. You know,
that's correct.
How does that work? I mean...
Well, I tell you what, it's a partnership between the state and the county, whether it's Washoe County or Clark County, and the driving factor is always to create incentives for businesses to come into our state and create new opportunities. And sometimes you have to put things on the table. You have to make concessions and deals, and part of that is tax packages. And some of the voters have asked me and said, well, they're not going to be, especially Tesla, they're not going to pay taxes. Well, that's not true. The taxes are actually deferred out depending on the time frame, and then they're amortized. And trust me, they will end up paying those taxes very quickly. And then there's other things that are put on the table and concession, extra revenue going to higher ed or K through 12. To beef up our workforce development.
Right, right.
So there's a package that is put together. So nothing is free.
Right. there's no free lunch. So just anecdotally, one of the things that I've been very blessed is I get to work with business owners around the world, you know. And so through some of the professional technical things that I do that are unique to Bosma Group stuff, you know, I get calls from everywhere. So I was working with this business owner, a very large landowner in Argentina. And there was a car maker, shall remain anonymous, that wanted to build an auto plant and was talking to him about buying some land to build their auto plant. And he gave them the land.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you do that?
Well, land, raw land is, of course, it's not cheap, but it's not as expensive as putting in infrastructure.
Right.
And infrastructure costs, and whatever that infrastructure, whether it's fiber, whether it's water, whether it's
sewer,
roads.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge cost, a huge expense. And then you add to that labor cost. I mean, that's another huge cost. So, but
the reason he did that, though, was so that, he knew, you know, they were going to take up this footprint and this land, and that every other supplier that was going to sell to this manufacturer was going to buy around the manufacturing plant.
Right. That's
right?
Correct.
So if you ever tried to open up a little retail shop in a strip mall and you wonder why you're paying $2-3 a square foot, right? And then go ask what that anchor tenant's paying. It's like 40 cents a square. Almost free, just because they know that you're going to want to be around the anchor tenant. That's
exactly
how that
right.
works.
That's
just
how it works.
Being smart.
Right.
So he made millions, hundreds of millions of dollars by giving away the land.
Right.
Right. And so in economic development works the exact same way. Right. We weren't going to get Tesla if we didn't give the package. They would have gone to Texas.
Right.
In fact, Nevada, with our lack of workforce, you know, it's got some hair on it.
Okay,
you know,
we got
work for, you know, listen, go back to KQH.com, listen to the old shows. Every business owner that's been on here, without exception, 5 years, every business owner, right? When I talk about how is it going for hiring when they come here, they scratch their head. It's like, it's harder than we thought.
Yes.
Okay. And it's just, and I will tell you, so it is fascinating. Perhaps even frustrating, right, to have the lay person, you know, lament, oh, well, we gave. Well, guess what? We got.
Right.
We got. We wouldn't have a Tesla effect without Tesla.
We wouldn't have a Tesla effect without Tesla. And Lance Gilman is so articulate in expressing, you know, evolutions in Reno and in northern Nevada. And this is one of those major evolutions. You know, he talks about gaming, and this is probably one of those third or fourth evolutions in our community that's going to have such a great effect, cause and effect on us.
Right.
And I don't know, Mike, I've been here for a long time, and I've seen the siphoning off of our best and our brightest.
Yep.
They go somewhere else, or they live somewhere else, or they do something else. But I'm seeing them starting to stay, and the revitalization.
Right. And to filter back, right?
Filter back, right. And give back and raise their families and you know, add to our community. And I tell you what, that's kind of like the lifeblood. That's the excitement.
Right.
And that's what generates the a robust economy.
Right.
And
right.
That's what we're looking for.
So Katrina, on the business valuation buy sell front,
mm-hmm.
I mean, where are you seeing businesses? I just imagine if somebody's going to buy your business, or if you're buying an existing business, whichever side you're on, you know, that stable workforce is a big part of that.
It's huge. I mean, that's the number one thing.
That's what you're buying.
That's
right?
What you're buying.
Workforce in place.
Yes. Yep.
So any trends you're seeing out there?
You know, we're getting a lot of buyers coming in, looking. It's definitely a seller's market in Reno right now, mm-hmm. which is great. But
well, it's great if you're a seller.
It's great if you're a seller. Yes.
If you're a buyer.
Yeah. You're competing. Right, so we're seeing multiple offers for the first time since, 2006. So it's a good, it's good. All of this Tesla effect, it's been really, really good for
business. And the reason is that rising tide, right? People see the tide rising and it's just like, there's opportunity. We know that there's going to be more opportunity tomorrow, so you might want to buy today.
Right.
And cap rates are starting to reflect that a little bit.
Right. And rents are going up, all of that stuff. Right. So yeah.
Rents are going up?
The rents are going up. Not in my building.
Make a note.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm like the worst negotiator on the planet. It's like in the process of renegotiating leases and on the Boston Business Center. And I just, we had an appraisal done on the building. And here's the appraisal. This is, they say exactly what it's supposed to be. It's what it is. I'm like going, I think I tipped my hand on that one, Randy. I'm all about transparency, right? I mean, we're in partnership with our tenants. It's just, we all work together. It's like, hey, I just want people to feel good.
That's why we call them members.
Right. Right, not tenants.
That's right.
Indeed. So Katrina, how's your membership going?
Great.
Now listen. Now, hang on. I'm going
to
defend this.
I got to defend this a little bit.
Every month, and you write that membership check.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, we have a ton of business that's going on between the first, second, and third floors at the Bosma Business Center with our members, and they love us over there,
and we appreciate.
Where else can you have an office that you come to that has the possibility of paying for itself?
Actually, that's true. We had a meeting earlier today about, how we help our other member clients, right? And it's just like, we've worked on some joint cases together. We're literally, somebody trying to sell their business and really trying to create significant family wealth because they don't have that advisor team to really point them that direction.
Right. And most people don't. So
right. And that's especially buying and selling a business is unique. I call it a lifetime event. Most attorneys, most accountants, they can do the work, but they're not experts at it.
Yeah, it is. It's just, it's so rare, that, that's very true. Yeah, you really need people that are well-versed in it.
Right. Yeah, it's just saying. And so, and that's where we work with a lot of existing CPAs. I know the mergers and acquisition attorneys I work with, they work with their current legal counsels. Like, hey, well, let's just make sure you get the deal right. So that way it's, 5 years from now, everybody's happy with it rather than lamenting, right, that I bought or sold or it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So, but yeah, I think that's where when we come back, what I really, really, really want to do is talk about this commerce tax. It's coming up. Business owners need to start preparing for it with some of those calcs and whether or not, Senator Maurice Washington's prognostication that it's going to be repealed holds up. And you heard it here. It's Bosma Business, News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma Business, talking about the future of the economy in Northern Nevada and how you can monetize it. In studio, Katrina Lofton Winkle, our business advisor extraordinaire and owner of BTI, business broker, and former Senator Maurice Washington, and now a current candidate for Washington County Commission, and of course my good friend Randy O. So, Randy, we start this segment. So we're shaking at the BBC.
All right, let's start with a shout out to the Nevada Restaurant Association, which has selected the Bosma Business Center as their Northern Nevada headquarters.
Oh, is that who that was?
That's pretty awesome.
I saw NRA.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Why do you seem shocked?
I'm like, all right.
There's no... Right. Yeah, it's the other NRA.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Different one. I have to pay for security anymore. This is awesome.
I don't get a hat. No hat. I'll have to buy you a hat. So we've got that going on, which we're pretty excited about having them in the building now. And also, we're going to do something different. On May 26th at 11:30, we're doing our first live webinar. It's going to be on mergers and acquisition. You're going to be part of that.
Indeed. Instant growth through acquisition.
Instant growth. So it's going to be very cool. People can go up to the BosmaBusinessCenter.com live event tab, and they can register for that. Of course, if you're on our email list, you've already received an email, and we'll continue to receive a couple of invites. You don't want to miss this one. And again, it's going to be live. There's going to be live Q&A. So it's a great new format for us.
Yeah, Peter Drucker says the easiest and best way to grow is through acquisition. So if you don't know who Peter Drucker is, Google him. You'll be impressed. Okay, so... And that's where the other thing that's coming out is kind of that list of lunch and learns and, you know, really everything a business owner needs to know about how, you know, those kind of those hidden things that are going to trip them up. And one of the things I love about our advisor team is like it's a one-stop shop. Everything that you need to make your business successful under one roof. And the fact that you can go across the hallway to go get it is huge. If you've ever tried to schedule a meeting with busy people, it takes forever unless they've got this mindset. And, you know, we've kind of got this rule, kind of loose rule, but it's like, hey, even if I'm in a meeting, I'll make a warm introduction. Just give me a minute. I'll tell you generally what you need to talk about. And it helps business owners. You know, they don't have to kind of go through the whole Q&A and learn your story. It's like, hey, we can put that together for you, pass it along. It makes that transition, that handoff a lot better. So, Randy, appreciate all you do with BBC.
Thanks, Mike.
No, you're welcome. Speaking of BBC, Boston Business Center.
Hang on, I got one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I don't want to forget that we've got a survey going right now. We want to know what people want to talk about, the lunch and learn. So we're going to let that go through probably Monday afternoon.
Okay.
Before we pull it down, we've gotten some great feedback.
And where would I go to take that survey?
And what you're going to do is you're going to go to the Bosma Facebook page or the Bosma Business or the Bosma Business Center. It's up on Facebook. And we also have sent some emails out. So, you know, let us know what you want to talk about. Let us know how we can help you.
Beneficial to you? Good. Listen to your customers. It's good advice.
There you go.
All right. So, in studio, former Senator Maurice Washington. Maurice, Commerce tax. We got through the last legislative session, right? Governor Sandoval imposed his political will on the entire state. Now, Governor Sandoval, he's a good cat.
Right.
Handsome.
He's a good guy. I like
handsome.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to.
He is handsome.
You talk about this stuff. There, I was talking to a political commentator about who the next governor might be, and they started down the list in order of how attractive they are on TV.
Uh-huh.
And like, we are so shallow of a people.
I know we are, aren't we?
When we talk about the commerce tax, a lot of people are now like, you know, kind of buyer's remorse, right? Now there's a lot of pushback on this tax. First and foremost, you know, what's your perspective on the commerce tax?
Well, you know what? Tinder has its place, and I've been around for a while, and I've seen this tax die, and I've seen it resurrected, and I've seen it die, and I've seen it resurrected, and here we are today talking about the commerce tax. And I could tell you that going door to door, talking to the voters, and listening to their concerns, there's a lot of business owners out there, small business owners, that are very, very, very concerned about this tax, and you know that it's going to impede and erode their bottom line, and wondering how they're going to comply with this tax. I know it's there's some hurdles that they have to overcome. So it'd be good for them to kind of tap into your center. The other thing is, of course, you know, it makes sense for some of the larger corporations because, you know, they're big enough and they can afford this commerce tax. The repeal, I know there's a push to repeal the tax. I would honestly say, you know, I wish we hadn't gone down that road. And I think growth in the long run, if you give it an opportunity and you provide enough incentives, not only will growth begin to pay for itself in phases, but you got to plant those seeds. And you never get a harvest right away. You got to till and work it. And
sowing and reaping is very
right.
Very
right. And give it time. And eventually you'll reap a harvest from it. But to arbitrarily, artificially try to grow something, you end up with trouble.
We call them weeds.
Weeds.
Right, what grows where you don't want anything to grow,
right?
They call them weeds.
Right.
And, you know, I've been a very vocal opponent of commerce tax. It's bad policy. I'm not opposed to tax.
I'm not opposed to taxes either.
I'm just opposed to bad taxes.
Bad taxes.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's what I prepare returns, tax returns, in all 50 jurisdictions. So it's like I have this kind of unique deal. I was kind of classically trained at New York University on state and local taxation from a policy perspective, testified county state boards of equalization, tax commission, for both house of legislature. I was like, it's an expertise I have,
right,
you know. And
right.
So I like, no, this is bad policy, right? So let's just fix it. Let's fix the tax base, which I'll tell you, every study since 1969 says it's, you know, the same thing,
right?
Which is we have too narrow a base that doesn't grow with the population. We can't bond it.
Right.
We can't predict it.
Right.
You know, and I think in the mid-70s when the tax shift happened, hey, we're just going to tax all these California cats when they come in and gamble.
Right.
That doesn't work either. It's right. like, and I think the pushback is we all said, hey, guys, this is flawed, and now the revenue projections aren't what they thought they were going to be.
Sure.
And now they're like, oh, we need more tax.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, we did a study, and the study really has three indicators, and most businesses build their business off of this. One, they want consistency. They want to know that the taxes are consistent. And then they want predictability, that it's predictable, you know. And then they want to know that that they can actually afford to pay it. And so you take those elements out of your tax structure, you really got a problem. And businesses tend to shy away, or they tend to make other decisions because those three denominators are not in place.
Well, no, that's exactly it, right? So the whole idea when the commerce tax came into being is like, okay, now we'll have a predictable revenue source. We know what that is. And so I'm working with Edon, Mike Kazmierski, and his team. I know I'm certain you ran into this when you were at NNDA, that it was like when people would toggle away from Nevada and
sure.
move their business elsewhere because they knew that they were going to have to fix it. They didn't want to fix it on their backs.
Right. Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I got my incentive package, I got my sales tax abated, I got my property tax abated,
right.
but yeah, we didn't think to abate the new income tax or the
right.
gross receipts tax.
Right.
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 So now that's new to me, and I don't have any way to dodge that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we tout it, and perception is the other thing, too.
Oh.
When you tout yourself as being a business-friendly state,
right.
and you change that perception, oh, it's so hard
but
to get it back.
But that's a good point. Is Nevada a business-friendly state? The reality. Well, I remember, it's just... It's accountability.
Well, what do you think, Mike? No. Randy.
Is Nevada a business-friendly state?
We were a business-friendly state.
Right, we were.
That's past tense.
I agree with you. I agree with you, brother. We used to be very business-friendly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the rhetoric of the legislature was, right, we're business-friendly. Let's remember we're business-friendly.
Business-friendly, right.
Right? And now over, I remember it started Governor Gwynn 2003. I was there. I was testifying. I was very involved.
Right.
And the rhetoric was business needs to pay their quote-unquote fair share. And the rhetoric changed.
Right.
Right? And when you get that rhetoric, right, that's not business-friendly.
That's not business-friendly.
Right.
And, you know, perception, it becomes reality.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and we had that perception, a business-friendly state, and, you know.
And, well, and you look at what's going on in other states, there's choices now.
Right.
Connectivity is easy. You know, workforce other places, there's choices.
Right.
You know, it's not so easy as just bringing them over from the Bay Area, you know, or Sacramento from California.
Well, that's what, you know, we were talking about incentives earlier. So I for years did these calculations for Edon and originally the first one I did just showed, okay, if, you know, it's like $5 million business, $50 million business, manufacturing, and just kind of made some assumptions. And then if you're in LA or San Francisco versus Reno, you know, and like those numbers were just insane. How like, it was like how much more money you'd make in Nevada. And then it was like, well, but people, they started moving west or east, I should say, from California. And they're like, oh, there's other options.
Right.
And I remember the first year, this has got to be 95, 97-ish. Well, all of a sudden, Utah was better than Nevada.
Right.
And I looked, I was like, how does this even happen? You
know?
So then you start having to tweak the assumptions, right? But you're like, oh, this isn't the no-brainer that it once was.
Right.
I remember we lost a big manufacturing plant here kind of early 2000s because Utah gave them land. And so they're like, well, you're just saying you're not have to pay tax, but I don't have to pay tax and I get, you know, 100 acres.
Right.
Right. All plugged in, infrastructure, I don't have to pay any of it.
Right.
And so, and they've got a better workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And. And so it's just, you know, sometimes that sense of entitlement, you know, we live in a bubble. It's great. It's not as great as it once was. But let's make Nevada great again.
Right.
Love that. We should.
Oh, where'd you get that from?
No, I'm telling you, let's make Nevada business friendly again.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Just like, listen, you know, businesses are your friend, not your enemy.
Right.
Right? And let's all pay. Right?
Right.
Every study that's been done since 1969 says that tax needs to be broad-based.
It does.
It needs to be predictable.
It needs to be predictable.
Right? We can't pay for schools. We would be able to pay for all of our schools if we had a tax base that was predictable. We can borrow on it.
Right.
Right? Because we have a declining, depreciating tax base, we can't borrow on it.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Who does that?
Sure.
Right. I remember I got flown to Stamford, Connecticut. I had the head of an assessor's organization that I was doing some work for. He had a property represented out here that was in foreclosure by an investment bank, and I was like, "This is how property tax work here." Literally, this guy did not believe me. He's like, "He must be some huckster." So he flew out.
When he saw how the property tax worked here, he flew me out to Connecticut to tell all of his assessor friends how messed up Nevada was. Right? True story. We're the only state that does it this way out of 50, right? Yeah. So listen, let's learn the lesson. So let's do, when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to tell Commissioner Washington his number one priority when we come back. Bosma on Business, Newstalk 780, KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business in studio. Katrina Loftenwinkle, our business advisor extraordinaire, BTI, business broker, and Maurice Washington, running for Washoe County Commission, and Randy O from the Bosma Business Center. What we want to do is, you know, kind of say the number one thing that we think former Senator Maurice Washington should advocate for when he gets elected to the Washoe County Commission. So, Randy, why don't you start us off?
Well, I think it's what we're talking about, continuation of, you know, businesses build the economy.
Right.
You've got to be business friendly. And I've, you know, I've been in Nevada for a while, and I've watched it shift as well. It just seems to get more and more difficult.
Right.
People want to come here. So
right.
Let's make it easy.
Let's make it easy. Right. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Katrina.
Yeah, I would reiterate that and really say the same thing and just get us some employees. We really need it.
Yeah. Well, I've always been pro-business, and I think the easier you can make it for business. And listen, businesses are responsible, too. Mm-hmm. They understand that there's an ecosystem that has to be developed. But any business, I could tell you this, working with economic development, there are a number of indicators. One, they want to know that your community is safe. So you got to have good law enforcement and first responders, and you got to have a good healthcare system with great delivery. And then they want to know that your educational system is top notch. You got good schools and good teachers, and that it's safe and they can send their kids to school and they can come home and, you know, mama still runs the ship, you know. And if mama's happy, daddy's happy, and everybody's happy. So you got to have good schools. And then, you know, you want to make sure that you have job creation, that you're creating jobs, and all that lends to a robust, vibrant community and economy. And you see life downtown, and you see life in your community, you see life in your parks and recreations. And I mean, it all works together. And so being a part of good governance lends itself over to business, and it allows you to do your jobs and work with your clients.
Yeah, I'd say, and now more than ever, businesses are really plugged into really the pulse of where, you know, their ecosystem, as you mentioned it, Maurice, and really want to give back. And so, yeah, when you're stuck in the, you know, in planning department for 3 months trying to get your building permits and get these construction workers to work, you scratch your head, right? And so, you know, let's just continue that, you know, tell yourself, right, be what you want to become. We want to become friendly. We're going to start becoming
friendly.
Business. We're going to start with the rhetoric. We're going to start talking about it. We're business friendly. And every year we go down a notch on that best places to, you know, best place, states to do business. So, and probably what I'd say, Maurice, is I think number one thing you should focus on is the governor's mansion.
Yeah, hey, I second that.
I think. Well, hold on. Let me finish. Poor Tiffany killed me. So I think we should be able to get our next governor with business friendly, and I think Senator Heller's kind of, you know, I think out there, and he'd be a great candidate. I think there's others, but to be
Mark Amadei.
Mark Amadei. It's like, listen, you're business friendly, right?
Right.
You're business friendly, right? And this is what that looks like. Right, we're going to fix the tax base. If you're not about fixing the tax base, you're not business friendly.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Well, you missed something, though, Mike. You know, you said we're pretty shallow people, so you know, I don't know if I got that handsome part put together yet. So.
Good looking man, Mr. Washington. I vote for you. All right. Next week, guess what? We got more advisors, more expertise, more business awesomeness. If you want your business to accomplish what it can, maybe you just need some more advisors, and we can do that. 786-4900. We get those advisors around the table to help your business. You know, most businesses are successful, but we're all about getting higher levels of success through a better brain trust. It's Bosma on Business. Newstalk 780 KWH.